Welcome to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries, a Christian identity church that believes in the good news that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the true Israel of Scriptures. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mark Downey, and today's message is entitled Power in the Blood in the Face. It's a longer than usual title, but I want to bring together the old hymnal theme of Power in the Blood, which we just sang, of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary for our redemption, and the often cited Strong's description of Adam, blood in the face. A while back, I did a message on Halloween and pointed out the macabre nature of this pagan holiday with its preoccupation with blood and gore. Makes me wonder why blood is given such a bad rap. Why the association with horror? Well, maybe it's shed blood or bloodshed that becomes death. Maybe it's our racial heritage of sacrifice for the atonement of sins, which was finally nailed to the cross. The positive aspect of blood is that the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. That means all life, including man and animals. The good news is that we don't sacrifice people for the atonement of our souls, save but for one man, Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb of God. Now, I'm sure there's a few in the occult who would disagree with that and still wish to practice their ancient craft of human sacrifices. By claiming the blood of Christ, we guarantee an immunity from war, sickness, poverty, not only as individuals, but corporately as well, as a nation, as a racial nation of Israel. The problem with all of this blood business is the false doctrine of universalism, carelessly interpreted from the scriptural phrase in Acts 3:21, the restitution of all things, arbitrarily bringing into our fold and destiny all the other races and subhumans. According to the blood mixers, we are all God's children. I am frequently called on the carpet through emails because of racially oriented articles on our website to explain the universalist sounding scripture in Acts 17:26, which says in the King James, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth." Well, this fraud is perpetrated to imply that God made all of the races from Adam onward. However, the word blood in this verse is an interpolation. In other words, somebody inserted it to explain what the word one was in reference to. Now, the Farrah Fenton Bible renders one as being capitalized, therefore suggesting the Most High or God. The word nations is ethnos in the Greek, from which we get the word ethnic, and is commonly translated as Gentiles, and serves the New Testament application of those people who were the racial progeny of Adam. The, quote, nations of men are all of the same race, the race of Adam. Acts 17:26 then correctly should read, "And hath made of the one God every nation of Adam to live on all the face of the earth." When Romans 16:25 through 26 states that the mystery of Christ had been made known unto all the world, it is then qualified by Acts 17:26. Now, some Bible students will argue that the Gospels must first be published among the nations, Mark 13:10, because they accurately point out that none of the early Christians went to any Asiatic or African nation. All of the people recorded in the New Testament who received the Gospels were white people. The good news of Christ being delivered to one particular race is in harmony with the historical record that it was not delivered to the Orientals, the Nubians, or the Aborigines. In this context, nations or Gentiles were only in reference to white Adamics. Jesus clearly said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," Matthew 15:24. Even within our own movement, there's the Trojan horse of apologists for race mixing, even though they deny that universalism promotes race mixing. They say that other races can be the recipients of salvation, as we are. This doctrine of all races eventually being saved has been creeping in and out of Christianity since ancient times. It was revived in the 19th century and has become epidemic to the present time. We can see the fruits of universalism. Well, let's consider John's vision in Revelation 17:8. Quote, "They that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." That doesn't sound like everybody's getting reconciled, does it? Thayer's lexicon gives foundation this definition: the injection or depositing of the virile semen in the womb. In other words, the white race is subject to predestination and really has no control in what God has caused to happen. Now that's quite a foundation. Therefore, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that whatever establishment church there is, like the universalist Catholic Church or pious religionist, that the Bible doesn't record any egalitarian entries into the Book of Life at some later date. There are several passages which tell us that our racial nature is determined before we're born. Quote, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Psalms 139:15. Our feelings for what God has produced should be based on discrimination, as the word "made," number 6395 in Strong's, means set apart, marked out as being different, used in the sense of separating those God loves from all others. We are wonderfully made, set apart by God. God has chosen us to be a special people unto Himself, above all people or races. That's not me speaking, that's Deuteronomy 7:6. Pure blood is important to God because it contains the DNA which makes us special. The Judeo churches can't handle this truth and won't accept this concept because they would lose their financial support from the politically correct purveyors of mongrelization and those who like to play God. It is these adulterated bloodlines which God had no part in creating or giving sanction to. Little do the bleeding heart liberals realize that the potter is going to take the pots made of inferior clay and smash them to smithereens so that they may never be reconstructed, let alone talk of reconciliation. What happens in a mother's womb was ordained and part of God's plan before a child was even born. The child was shaped by the hands of the potter, And that identity is determined by their blood. The clay is the DNA. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another into dishonor? Romans 9:21. Israel is made for a purpose that the other races cannot claim. To the universalist, it may sound unchristian to say that God planned Adam to have a blood unique from other races. One of the first things we learn in Christian identity is that the word Adam, number 120 in Strong's Concordance, Adam pronounced Adam, means to show blood in the face of our species, of mankind. If you look up the word man, you'll find that it is identical to Adam. Same numbers. Man means Adam, Adam means man. If you look up the word blood, number 1818, it is pronounced Dom, from which we get Adam, and is compared to 119. The only logical deduction left for us is that other species or races cannot biblically be called man. Whenever the Bible refers to man or men, it is exclusively applied to the race of Adam. The particular feature of blood present in our race is absent from others. With these facts, we can leap forward in our understanding of God's plan for the ages. It is crucial to God and our relationship with Him that our bloodlines remain pure. When Genesis 6:9 says Noah was perfect in his generations, that meant the racial integrity from Adam had been maintained. The word generation just doesn't mean an expanse of time. It meant as in the sense of genetics. After Noah and his family survived the great local flood in the Perim Basin, his three sons went their separate ways into history as distinct ethnic groups and bloodlines. Now, his son Shem is of particular interest to white Christians as the progenitor of the Semites, the Hebrews, the Israelites, and hence our racial heritage. Not the congenital liars called Jews. All of which God perfectly preserved in the DNA, keeping in place a divine destiny, which Christian identity has rediscovered. Now, the seminary-fed ministers parrot the line that Israel just disappeared after the Assyrian captivity, assimilating into other races. This idea makes God a liar, if we are to believe the prophetic promise of Amos 9:9 as to Israel's whereabouts. Quote, I, meaning God, will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. In other words, their racial integrity shall remain intact. What a sieve does is to filter lesser and greater elements through a screen or a mesh. The unwanted things are eliminated through this process, as Amos 9:10 qualifies who will fall to earth. And that is, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. Those who say the calamity will not overtake us. In other words, the same kind of attitude that we hear from people that say, God can't hurt me, even though insurance companies call tornadoes and hurricanes acts of God. Those who defile their DNA will fail to propagate and replenish the earth, And that's why the Jewish gene pool is in peril of extinction. Obviously, we have innumerable considerations regarding the inherent conflicts within our race to accomplish the will of God. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:19. What's this mean? Well, it means there's a lot of talking heads out there that are trying to tell us what the word of God is. That's why there's so many denominations. But the proof of the pudding is in the power. In other words, what we can prove is from God in accomplishing something. And the way I perceive things today, it doesn't look like the Judeo-Christian church establishment is accomplishing much of anything other than the destruction of our country. We have so many religious authorities today. Everybody's an expert, but we don't see too much of their knowledge translated into anything of substance, like political power. And the church is supposed to be the body politic? Not if it's got bad blood, especially behind the pulpit. Not many people know that there's several big-name preachers like Oral Roberts, Hal Lindsey, etc., that are half-breeds. They don't have the godly DNA. Not only genetically, but spiritually as well, do we observe mongrelization. This was certainly the case with Judah, having good figs and bad figs, when we read Jeremiah 24. Evil would separate the two. There is no communion between light or dark races any more than there is with light or dark beliefs. It's difficult for brainwashed people to appreciate that God discriminates between these polarities. Amos 9:11 foretells of God reestablishing the throne of David to, quote, raise up his ruins and build it as in the days of old. Now, this can only pertain to a royal genetic monarchy, whereas the genetic fraud perpetrated by Edomite Jews was predicted by Malachi 1:4, stating, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. How often do we hear about the poor persecuted Jews? And this is good news. But why do we have to have so much wickedness in high places? Why so many Jews in the various branches of our government? It's because when people look to man-made governments for their salvation, after a tornado or hurricane, they're crying to FEMA or some other alphabet soup agency, and God will accommodate the idols of their heart. If you turn to government, God will turn away from you. The Jewish welfare state in the Middle East will lose its power when white Christians realize their God-given powers. Meanwhile, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. I don't know how much more base we can get than King Boy George in the White House right now. We thought Clinton was bad. God's original design was to create the children of Israel as the sand of the sea, a multitude of pure DNA. And yet he foreknew that only a remnant shall be saved. Romans 9:27. The concept of a remnant has been exploited from time to time by religious charlatans, but usually for all the wrong reasons. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11:5. Now, this context is racial by discerning a spiritual Israel within a national Israel that has not bowed its knee to Baal. There has always been a genetic remnant of God who acknowledges the true power of life. I believe that is the clarion call of Christian identity, being used of God to bring forth His message of hope by submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. Yes, the remnant of saints may be martyred by the sword, but it is not through the shame of sin. It is rather through a love of why God made us. And as Isaiah said before, in Isaiah 1:9, except the Lord left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and became as Gomorrah, Romans 9:29. Again, the Bible is differentiating between good seed and bad blood, a mentality of mongrelization that leads to darkness, where there is no light, just blindness. The rest of Romans 9 speaks of the irrelevant means by which people try to attain righteousness without faith, such as rituals or legalistic actions. They didn't want to seek what was right by faith. By faith, meaning to do something regardless of the consequences, just because it's what God says is right. But wanted to be proud of their own works of self-righteousness, and thus they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Now, this is a direct reference to Christ. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Antichrist, whether Jews or white atheists, reject Christ as our, capital R, rock of salvation. Now, by the same token, we are told, look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn. Isaiah 51:1. In other words, look to the amazing biology of your family tree if you're going to seek the Lord. What are politically correct white people ashamed of and stumble over today? It's the race card. We are constantly bombarded with the guilt trip of being white. And what a trip it is on the road to hell. The enemies of God have deceived us into accepting that we are a powerless people. You can't fight City Hall. But my Bible tells me there's something in the blood that saves me from the Jew communist and the New World Order. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off and made near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. Let's read also Hebrews 9:14-15 for further assurance. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of our transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In 1 Peter 1:18-23, in the AST, we read, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, purifying your lives in the obedience of the truth, to unpretended love of the brethren. love one another fervently out of a racially pure heart, having been regenerated not by mongrelizable seed, but unmongrelizable through the living Word of God. And in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's important for us to develop a body politic and exercise white power from a Christian perspective. Why? Because Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do." Who's going to do these things? A chosen generation. There's that word generation. Genetics. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's his blood. Us. Who are the heirs of the kinsman redeemer. Let us secure the blessings of our inheritance. Praying our Arian benediction, Hail Jesus the Christ, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, and they shall put my name upon the children of the white race, and I will bless them. Amen.